You're tuning in to Spectre Radio.
Revisiting our favorite Star Wars movie moments and debate about scenes from the show.
We're just three millennials flying our way through the galaxy through the eyes of the clones, Jedi, and bounty hunters.
I'm Wyatt.
I'm Andrew.
My name is Alyssa, and we are...
Spectre Radio.
On second thought, tell me one of those spoilers. Your choice.
Very well. A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away.
Thank you, Hugh Yang and Ahsoka, for the spoiler warning. Again, this podcast contains adult content and spoilers.
I started hearing whispers of Thrawn's return as heir to the Empire.
What happens when we find Thrawn?
Power, such as you've never dreamed.
I've spent most of my life fighting a war. That's why I'm trying to convince you to help me prevent another one.
You and I both know who could help you with this.
She's still just as stubborn as ever.
I bet your master found you difficult at times.
Anakin never got to finish my training. I walked away from him, just like I walked away from Sabine.
You never made things easy for me,
Master.
As a Jedi, sometimes you have to make the decision no one else can. But I'm counting on you to see this through.
Nice haircut. Sometimes we have to do what's right, regardless of our personal feelings.
Buckle up.
If we don't stop Thrawn, everything will be in vain. You have no power.
Anakin spoke highly of you.
I'm not here to discuss my past.
We have a lot of work to do.
Once a rebel, always a rebel.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away, three millennials decided their nerddom was too big to fit in a text thread, so they started a podcast, and they called it Spectre Radio! Welcome
damn
back,
straight,
everybody!
We did do that during the pandemic.
Yeah, I mean, there's no better way to start that with a long time ago. But I have the distinguished honor of welcoming our guest, Brian! Woohoo! Brian, woo! I gotta say, what a delight it is after so long to see a familiar face. Anybody?
So long.
Anyone? That's what
I haven't seen you in forever, Brian.
Thanks.
We already gave you the spoiler warning, so I already threw in a Thrawn quote there. That's, you know, what he said to, I think, Sabine. So you're welcome. Welcome back, Brian. Super excited to have you.
Yeah, good to be back. When I got the Zoom thing, I was just like, when was the last time I was on here? And it was I think in April 2021.
Oh,
oh my gosh,
that really? Well, feels wrong. We were spotty in
2022.
That's fair.
Was it clones?
I tried not to take it personally. What did you ask? What
was it, clones or rebels you were on with us for?
You did rebels the second half or the first half?
I think it's the first half, because you wanted to do Twilight of the Apprentice.
Oh, yeah.
No, I was.
No?
I don't remember. But I was on that one.
On Rebels,
I was
for sure.
On
except past
the villains
us.
One.
I remember that.
Oh yeah.
And then I was on one of the consult the councils, I think.
Ah, mm-hmm. Yes. What a time. Well, I'm gonna pass it over to the inferior and Contrera brother to give us the recap.
Wow.
Okay. I don't know the recap. So
not you.
Oh, okay. All right.
Thanks
Take
for trying
away,
to save that, but I appreciate
Andrew.
It.
You're welcome. I jumped in front of that bullet for you.
Mighty kind of you. Ahsoka, Part 6. Far, far away. Ahsoka and Hugh Yang are on their way via Star Whale to the far-off galaxy to rescue Sabine and hopefully Ezra, and somehow stop Thrawn. Hugh Yang begins to tell Ahsoka the history of the galaxy. Meanwhile, the Eye of Sion arrives at its destination, Peridia. Peridia was the original home of the Night Sisters thousands of years ago, and they were the first to travel by Purrgil, making their way to the main Star Wars galaxy and their new home planet of Dathomir. Morgan, Baylan, and a captured Sabine make their way to the surface. The group are greeted by witches of the Night Sisters clan. The witches explain they've been calling Morgan Elsbeth through their magic, and that Thrawn is in fact still alive. Thrawn later arrives in his partially damaged Star Destroyer, the Chimera, along with many of his crew being alive and well. He honors Baylan's promise and lets Sabine go, so she may try to find Ezra, whom Thrawn warns may already be dead. He also has the two Dark Jedi follow her to kill them both, should she find Ezra. Will Sabine find her lost friend, only for them to face an ambush? Or will Sabine find out the hard way, as she faces death alone, that she traded her galaxy for a ghost?
Oh, very well written, Andrew. Wow.
Thank you. I was really happy with that.
Applause.
What does Brian say? That's going to mean the most.
No, I thought it was really good. When you said the alive and well, I went, so-so. Maybe
I thought the same thing. Let's talk about that. Yes.
All right.
So, yes, let's talk about that. So let's go into our first category of instant reactions.
Reactions.
So let's jump into this. So we finally have Thrawn.
Finally.
Yeah.
And we have Thrawn that looked like he skipped leg day for the past 10 years as well.
My man does not know what a sit-up is at all.
Man used to have cheekbones, and now he doesn't.
You know what? We all looked pretty much like that after COVID. Yeah, we all looked like that after quarantine.
Some of us still do. Me. Oh, anyway, so let's talk about Thrawn. So I watched it back-to-back today, actually, before jumping on this pod, and I'm noticing a little more and more details as we're kind of going through and watching him, but he's one to be known to be very well put together. Mm-hmm. And you can see even on his uniform, there's some slight brokenness. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously he traveled through, you know, time, space and everything. Basically. And I can't get over his eyes. His eyes scare the living bejeebus out of me. And he doesn't blink.
Off the little girl.
That's normal.
Yeah.
It's reminiscent of the old Thrawn trilogy. Like every time they describe his eyes, they're like, everyone's like, ooh, they're like afraid of him. So it's very reminiscent of that as someone who's listening to that trilogy now.
I'm about to start listening to it after I'm done with this other book I'm listening to now. And I am just so happy with how they portray Thrawn. I am so happy. The speech, we make fun of him for quote unquote gaining weight, but what else could he have been doing for the past 10 plus years on this remote planet?
Eating, right?
Yeah, eating and getting,
And losing his hair, it seems. I don't know. The hair is a little questionable.
The hairline is definitely.
It's a little.
I mean,
it's a little Lego plasticky gel to me.
One thing I also noticed, not with Thrawn, but I keep forgetting the other evil lady's name. Not
Morgan.
Baylan
Chin.
And
Chin.
Yes.
Yeah.
She has a Padawan
braid. Miss Hottie. Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't notice. Yeah.
That's the first time I noticed it was on this one. Maybe because we had a lot more dialogue between those two in this.
Why it's like, I've been distracted by all the attempted killing to notice the Padawan braid.
In all fairness, she is distracting with those looks in her eyes that like she wants to kill you.
But
it's all kind of attractive.
Step one.
Yes.
Listen,
yes,
I can dream, yes, can I?
Yes. Sure you
I
can.
I will say, I did enjoy their interactions, the Master Padawan interactions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's been mentioned before, but Baylan has definitely been giving me Qui-Gon vibes, like bad Qui-Gon vibes.
Mm-hmm. A bad Qui-Gon. I like
evil
that.
Qui-Gon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just like the way he like has been talking, the way he carries himself.
Yeah.
And even, I mean, this is one of the first times we have like a Master Padawan duo like this. Like we haven't had it really since like Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
You know, just, I guess that like age gap. So
sure.
Right.
And I'll say one more, then I'll pass it to the group. And this may be my hot take of the of
here
the
we go. We're like 5 minutes
warm
in.
Warm up on
minutes.
The fire, guys.
Here we go.
But I don't like who they cast for Ezra.
Oh Lord.
Bro, he was in 3 minutes of the episode.
Let him cook, Wyatt.
I got more Aladdin vibes with him, I'll say.
Aladdin?
He's not the guy who played Aladdin, is he?
I know he's not the guy who played Aladdin.
Because he was up for the casting, at least the fan casting.
And I know it's 10 years post season 4 of Rebels, and I know it's hard to take somebody from animation and put them into live action versus the other way around is much easier. Until we got closer to him to where we saw his blue eyes, which is more prominent in Rebels, I'm like...
Yeah, I wish they were purple. Kind of upset about that, not going to lie. But they looked kind of purple because he was with Sabine with the purple hair to me.
Sure.
But then when I watched it again, I was like, they're blue. Lame.
Sure.
I actually liked him. I thought he did a good job. But yeah. I mean, everyone has different
The
opinions.
Lean, the inflection.
Mm-hmm. His cadence.
It was pointed
his
out to me
was correct, yeah.
via the internet that he looks a lot like Ezra's father. If you want to see a little screenshot I grabbed.
Well, that's actually really cool then, which means he's aging what we would expect him to. That's really cool.
I mean.
Ephraim, right? Ephraim Bridger?
Yeah.
Wow.
Very uncanny.
That like almost good. Like Middle Eastern vibe.
Yeah.
That like
you know,
the
very
people have.
Moses, very Jesus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's pretty cool.
And one more thing that just popped into my head. Did anyone else get Frozen 2 vibes when Sabine was talking to the rocks?
I didn't
mean
see
Frozen 1?
Was it Frozen 1?
Yeah, it was Frozen 1. You're
well, Frozen,
I like
whatever.
Those little half turtle guys are kind of cute.
Little crab turtle guys. I got some thoughts on them. The that was hermit frogs? Is that what they're?
Hermit crabs.
I don't know. That's what it looked thinking. Like to me.
They do kind of look like hermit frogs.
I don't know. They are some kind of something.
They're not as cute as those Anzellians, but I mean, I think they're a little cute.
They'll talk about my friends like that. Yeah. That's fair. Okay. I got a lot, so I'm just jump right in. Okay, so let me back up from Thrawn to the opening sequence, which we used as our spoiler/intro.
So happy.
Did anybody else get the meta-ness of that conversation between Hu Yang and Ahsoka?
Oh, yeah.
And how clever and adorable that was. I immediately was like, oh, okay, cute, I get it. And then as he like was like, a long time ago, I was like, oh, I get it. Like, we're part of the story. We listen to the story. Like, I'm a Padawan. Wow, I must be a Padawan. yeah. But like, basically he was like, they were saying History of the Galaxy parts 1, 2, and 3. And then Ahsoka said 1 being the best, of course. And I audibly laughed out loud because I was like, I get it. They're saying like the first episode is the best, or like the first trilogy is the best. Mm-hmm. Like, you could take it a couple different ways.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that was great. And that the trilogies are just stories that they pass on to the Padawans. And I was like, that's so beautiful. I love that. So I thought that was great. Kind of like Wyatt was saying, I didn't get Frozen vibes, but I got a lot of different like call outs to different things throughout this. So before I jump into that, one thing with the space donut, as we're calling it, just gotta love that out of the construction, they were like, you know what we have to make sure we have on this thing? A freaking jail cell. They were like, but don't forget, we gotta have room for the 7 star engines. But also, we need a jail cell because this is a bad guy operation. So, love that there was a jail cell for Sabine on the transport, as well as in Peridia. There was a jail cell waiting for her. This is not a broom closet that they made into a jail cell. Like, it is clearly a prison cell. So, gotta love that.
And they were
like
on a rock, Peridia.
The
so
priority.
They had a jail cell in a rock.
Gotta love that's the priority for the bad guys. Is gotta make sure we've got space for our prisoners.
Goes in before the Vacto tubes go.
Right, yeah. Exactly. So I thought that was great. But when they were landing with the lightning and the storm and everything, it reminded me when Mando and Bo-Katan were landing on Mandalore. I was like, okay, I see kind of like this wasteland out in the vastness of space that they're kind of, you know, what was it, marooned out there, right? Kind of same idea. So I thought that was interesting. And the big whale bones. I was like, this is like the elephant graveyard from the Lion King.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, did you think that too? Yeah.
Yep.
And then of course we got some kind of weird, spooky call outs to like space Twilight, with like the giant wolves and then like smelling of the Jedi, like the vampires could smell the humans that smelled good. Like, I don't know.
It was I mean, the witch would just sense it.
Right, but she was like, I smell a Jedi. It was like very hocus pocus. I smell a child.
I was about to say,
like,
you know how witches be smelling things.
Yeah, witches be smelling it, man. Yeah, for sure.
And they be smelly.
They be smelly. Yeah, true that. Smell my feet. So I thought that was great. Thrawn's intro, I love the music. It was very spooky, very haunted mansion, very like foreboding.
Very,
so I loved that.
North Korea.
Yeah, very thing. North Korea. And then like the rest, like his opening quote. It was kind of cool. It was all right, but I don't know.
It was foreboding.
I was waiting for a little more oomph with it. It was good after they built it up for so long. I wanted it to be more of a surprise, but we all knew it was coming. And Ezra, I think they pulled that off kind of a little better because it was more of a surprise. It was like, are we going to get it? Are we not? And it was very similar to like Ahsoka seeing Anakin kind of like behind her back kind of thing. So I did like that. When Sabine said, you're just going to let me walk out of here. I'm like over here in the corner going, it's a trap. Like, if we know anything with Thrawn, it's a trap. And then we got to see Sabine kicking. So obviously she learned something from Ahsoka. Like, if anything, she learned how to kick. And then, of course, these little Ninja Turtle, what did we call them? What did you just say? Hermit frogs?
Hermit frog crabs, yeah.
Hermit frog crabs. The little Naughty, I think it was called. His outfit, to me, looked exactly like Han Solo. Like, I don't know if any of you noticed that. He had, like, the little vest and the shirt, and I was like, why is he dressed like Han Solo? So, big I don't know. Maybe, that fan. Was just me. But with the Howler, and the little turtles, I got very much like Chewie and the Porg. Like, he was like licking his lips, like, chasing the little turtles. Yeah. And then they shot over to the baby and the little baby in like the hammock. And I was like, oh, there's a snack for Grogu. Like, they're just lining it up. Like, I'm just ready for him to come up. So, yeah, man, there were some really great moments in this episode. It to me, Brian and I were kind of talking about this before the rest of you guys jumped on. But to me, it's hard to come over the episode we just had, right? It's hard for me to like say this is better. And, you know, like I said last time, we can still go up from here. This is not the end for me, but it's definitely not as good as I reacted to episode 5. So I will say that.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have a ton more to add. I think, like I mentioned with like the Shin and Baylan dynamic, is just like super interesting, and like we're getting more of like Baylan's motivation of like sensing the power that's there. It's like wondering what that's about. And then the Thrawn intro, I don't know, it just like, I mean, earlier Ahsoka says that like he's trying to return as like heir to the Empire, and he's just like, when they first show him, he just like jumps right back in, like, I've been waiting for this, you know? So he's just like already taking the reins. So like that didn't feel as weird to me. That felt like, yeah, the rightful heir is just like, I'm ready, let's go. You know, he's been waiting for how many years?
Put
he's
like over 10. Yeah.
So he's just like, they probably practice like setting up, like, all right, when they come, what's gonna look like, you know?
We're gonna make Thrawn so proud. He's gonna be so surprised that we're doing this. I think he just deserves it. Let's make sure we get this right. It's like SpongeBob with the band practice.
Oh yeah,
to be in a marching band
instrument. Yeah.
Nice, but yeah, I think the last thing I wanted to talk about was like the stormtroopers. Like, seemed like very.
The night very troopers.
Like, I wasn't expecting that. I wasn't.
Yeah, no, that was different. That
and
was different.
Enoch,
I was like,
Enoch's like, mask.
Who is this guy?
His helmet was the was like a modification of like the one Ezra always used, the one that like the little cadet ones.
Yeah,
but it's also gold, so it kind of like matches their loyalty to the Night Sisters a little bit.
It was actually Golden Face from The Office.
Oh my god!
Operation, what was it? Midnight, whatever.
Threat level midnight. Thank you very much. Threat level midnight. Thank you very much. Oh my
God. Hey, as someone who's only seen a third of the show, that's not bad. Okay.
And I'm going to hump her real good. Oh, anyone? No, just me. Okay. You're welcome. Ugh. I said it so you didn't have to. You're welcome.
Cringy.
What else you got, Brian?
That's The Office for you. Cringy.
No, I think that's like just interested to see what goes on there. I've seen maybe a lot of theories about what's going on, but I guess we'll probably get there.
Yeah. Okay. Let me wrap up this one, then I'll bring us into the next one. Yeah, I can definitely see where Brian's coming from. We're finally starting to get some context on the master and apprentice relationship that Baylan and Shin have going on. I think it's pretty cool. He started to do some expositions, some background, and I was like, all right, all right. I'm like, what are we digging here? And then he just stops digging, and I was like, oh, well, okay. I was like, we got something. I was like, keep going. I want to know who you are. I don't know who is your master.
Do you know any of these like old stories that he's referencing? Is this kind of like referencing Legends canon at all, or
not that I'm aware of? That's actually something I was going to ask Brian, because Brian knows a little bit more about the Legends than I do.
I mean, it was very vague and ambiguous, to be fair. But
I mean, what I was going to ask was, they don't talk about other galaxies that much in Star Wars. That's actually, they do that better on Stargate, but. They do reference it sometimes in the Legends. So I'm wondering if, like, Brian, have you read any of the books where they talk about those, or not really?
Not a whole lot. I mean, we get like that, I guess, toward the end of the timeline with like the invaders from other galaxies type thing with the Vong War and all of that stuff. But that's not really like what this is. I think a lot of what we do see, whether it is Legends or canon with like the newer Thrawn books, we get a lot of like the unknown regions. That's kind of been more the focus. So I'm actually kind of a little surprised that they already went like outside of the galaxy, when it seems like the unknown regions with like the sequel trilogy and the Thrawn books have like I said, really focused on the unknown regions. So
the unknown regions recently was described as not only in the galaxy, also anything outside the galaxy, because it used to be that the unknown regions was just in our galaxy. It was just unknown regions in this Star Wars galaxy, and they've recently kind of like retconned it. It was a very recent thing, and I didn't know that until very recently. But so I agree, because they've been focusing so much on it, you'd think they would just kind of stick to the territory. But I think they wanted the shock factor that Thrawn and Ezra were even farther away than we could have imagined. We saw the Star Destroyer missing its main three engines, like they were off.
That thing was on a Lego stand, man. Like, I don't know what was happening.
It just had its like secondary engines. We're like, okay, that explains why they didn't even bother trying to get back. I mean, it's like its backup hyperdrive. It would have taken them like 1,000 years.
It also explains why they brought so many hyperdrives with them as well.
Explains why it's in the shape of a hyperspace ring.
Yeah.
So true. I'm glad. That not just wasted space. Although I would have been like, that was the stupidest design. If you're not gonna use it. But so that was pretty cool. I somewhat disagree with Wyatt. I liked the casting for Ezra so far. Again, 3 minutes. Yeah, I could go completely the other way, and then Wyatt could go completely the other way, and we'll find each other in each other's seats. You know, you never know.
Switzerland. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm curious to see how it goes. I'm very curious to see what she tells him as far as how she got here.
Yeah.
And what it may cost.
By the way, I traded everything to save you. And I don't know how to get you home. We got to figure it out. Oh, Ahsoka, you show up and save the day. Wow. What the concept.
Yeah, Ezra's smart enough to like not pry. He's like, it's not gonna be great. Let's just.
I mean, I feel like he knows the answer is Thrawn. Like he's.
I'm also hoping he wasn't like building this up in his head for 10 plus. Like they're gonna rescue me this way or this way or this way, and it's like, actually, none of those things happened. But so we'll see. Yeah. We'll see how that goes. Part of me was a little surprised at how little of Ahsoka we got in this episode, but. It makes sense given that she was like 80% in the last episode.
I wasn't really shocked at all with, they're clearly going Jonah inside the belly of the whale vibes. Which yeah. This is the second day, quote unquote.
So I see.
She'll probably pop up again.
Look at you.
In the next episode.
We love a biblical reference in Star Wars.
I read something recently about Hu Yang and something that I'd previously overlooked. He's like 25,000 years
old. Yeah, I just read that too. Do you want me to?
Yeah. You know what I'm talking about, I'm assuming.
Yeah, well, I just found it online and I was just going to read it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hu Yang was built in 25020 years. Gosh, okay, I can't even.
BBY.
Yeah, years before the Battle of Yavin. So 25020 in the era called the Dawn of the Jedi. This fact was revealed in April of this year in the book Star Wars Timelines. The Jedi Order was founded by, quote, the first Jedi, end quote, in the year 25025. That is 5 years prior to the creation of Hu Yang. Hu Yang has been practically been around since the beginning of the Jedi, helping the beginners. So, like, yeah. He knows a lot. My man has seen some things.
It's basically the foundations of, like, civilization. Like, civilization wasn't around long before the Jedi started. So he's seen almost everything that the galaxy has to offer and lived through it. So it's kind of crazy what he's seen and the wisdom he has. Also, something that I never mentioned, and I meant to mention it already, the Eye of Sion. I believe there was a Sith named Darth Sion, like thousands of years prior. And given that Morgan Elsbeth is like a Night Sister member, they probably like knew him. Given that they kind of both dabble in the dark side a little bit with their magics being loosely related. So I'm curious to see if that
magic
unfolds.
With a K, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you guys kind of hammered away everything pretty good. So I guess I'll take us into our next category of predictions. So what are we thinking as far as the fallout of him finding out?
I think we should just first acknowledge, I think Wyatt got a prediction right. Is that right?
What's that?
Did I?
Didn't you predict that we would get another beast or like a Star Wars creature, or did I make that up?
I said new species, new creature, new ally, I think I said. Which sure.
I mean, I would count the howler as that.
I mean, sure. He also had it on the other planet that they were on, but we are getting it. So he at least half right. So
I don't know. I didn't the howler and the little turtle guys, crab
they
turtle
count.
People,
they count.
Frog, hey, things?
Listen,
I don't know. We haven't really seen those two before too much.
Alyssa's saying I'm right. I'm taking it.
I think you
listen,
should.
Good job.
Record
I wrote
the date,
it
Brian.
Down.
Record the date and time.
You know what I wrote in my notes? Wyatt got one right? Question mark.
Wow.
And it'll be recorded because in 2 years when you guys invite me again, we'll have that date in the Zoom chat.
Well, hopefully we do that sooner. Oh,
yeah.
There was also one more instant reaction
derail,
I wanted to add.
I just wanted to say, go for it, Andrew.
I liked the history we got on the Night Sisters because we never had that before. And the fact that somebody has tamed a star whale before.
Yeah,
so,
very Hercules, like the threads.
I don't want them to make it like this
that?
Is like, yes, I do remember that. I don't want them to make it like, oh yeah, people have been riding star whales, you know, all the time, but like
the pioneers used to ride these babies for miles.
No, I mean, but like if they reference it on a very rare occasion over the course of 25,000 years, then I'm okay with it.
Yeah,
but it's like so. But anyway, back to predictions. I'm curious if he'll get upset or not.
Who?
The fact
Ezra.
I mean, she low-key traded away everything that he sacrificed himself for in order to find him for
correct
good reasons
for years
and years. Over the fact that she knew he was alive, like in her heart kind of thing, but like not in fact, and of course she proved to be right, but it's like that was a gamble. What was that Big Bang Theory quote? That seems like an awfully big gamble, that given that the prize is only Leonard.
Oh jeez, oh my god. Schrodinger's cat. How do you know about that? Just don't ask questions.
But so we'll see how that goes.
Yeah,
I
would like to piggyback off that, and I will say, like, I feel like there's something going to happen with his lightsaber because she used it this episode, and kicking. I want to do some kicking. We're just hammering the SpongeBob quotes today. My God. But she obviously was like, I felt like she was wielding it like a baseball bat. Like she was like, oh, I will show you the streets of Lothal up in this bitch right now.
And they've
was
been just doing like that with lightsabers lately. They've been around. Using them like baseball bats instead of something that can like chop like, your arm off.
Let me just show you what I do in the streets kind of thing to me. So kind of piggybacking off what you said, I wrote down kind of a unfinished theory. But based on what you're saying, it seems like Sabine is going to have to redeem herself to Ezra. So it'll be interesting to see if Ezra is going to be fighting Thrawn. He'll get his lightsaber back because she'll be like, oh, here, you're the real Jedi. Like, this belongs to you. And maybe, of course, at some point, we're probably going to see Ezra and Thrawn duel because that's what they do. And maybe since she's been honing in this Force ability, she'll be able to take it out of Ezra's hands and do something with it, kind of Game of Thrones style. I got some Game of Thrones theories up in here tonight. So yeah, I don't know. I just feel like if she's going to have to redeem herself, what better way to do it than save Ezra's life? Like, again, like legitimately. So that could be kind of cool.
What do you guys think?
So we have two episodes to go. Realistically, we have maybe an hour left of content.
An hour, you think? I mean, we got like, what, 45 minutes this week.
Yeah, but that's I don't think credits and flashback and
That's like five.
One of those episodes is not going to be longer for sure.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
So we'll see. We've got a. If this is it, if this is the only season, I mean, granted,
I doubt it. I feel like after this reaction,
I feel like they had to rewrite a lot of it towards the end because of Rey's passing, especially.
Yeah.
I feel like they could have done a lot, like his own miniseries. It could have ended off on like where he was during Order 66. And
I hope they do.
I always cast a younger him.
Exactly. I was going to say, or animated. Like they could totally run with that. But I think that would be great.
Knowing that we have, let's just call it an hour's worth of content left. We've got a lot of ground to cover. A lot of ground to cover.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, we're gonna have loose ends, obviously.
Correct. Yeah, whether it's Sabine seeking redemption not only from Ezra, but she's got to redeem it from Ahsoka as well.
Yeah,
because Ahsoka knows that she made the choice to go.
Right.
That's a big thing that I think is gonna kind of be an action item. I'll say coming up in the next next two episodes. Something that Baylan said when he was coaching is that he feels a greater power other than themselves, and he feels it.
Yeah,
something
that
calls
and,
to him.
That I'm and wondering. The witches were like, we got to get out of here. They were like, we can't. They were like, we don't know what's on this planet. We're not vibing with it. We got to go. So
they've also been on that planet since like the dawn of time. So I'm wondering, is this a new thing, even though it's old and ancient? Is it new to that planet? Or they're just like, listen, we've been living with this for generations. GTFO, man.
Uh-huh. It could be the witches. It could be the witches giving off that negative, bad feelings. Or could he be sensing the First Order? Or the Last Order, I'll say.
The Final Order.
Final Order,
I don't know. I mean, I feel
Exegol's
like it's
not
something
in another galaxy.
Yeah, they're in the unknown regions.
Yeah. I feel like it's something specific to this planet that we don't really know about too much yet, because it seems like from what we've learned from Baylan's story, he is not on Thrawn's side. He's not for the cause for Thrawn. He doesn't want to support him. He doesn't
He's using Thrawn like Thrawn's using him.
Exactly. So it'll be interesting. And they're really kind of teasing and kind of leading up to this arc for him to come to the good side. And I could see, especially because of Morgan's shortcomings and how like dirty Shin is playing the game, I could see her taking Morgan's place and kind of becoming Thrawn's apprentice, and Thrawn just killing Morgan or somebody killing Morgan and being like, bye,
Morgan.
It
doesn't seem like Shin minds going dark side.
That's kind of my thought. So I could see Thrawn and Shin teaming up, Morgan being out of the picture altogether, and then Baylan going to the aid of the light side. I could see that happening. I don't know exactly how it would play out, but I think they're leading into that, and it could be Baylan dying. They could be, you know, just going straight into that plot line since that happened in real life. But it basically, we saw in this episode that Morgan fumbled the bag. Like, she got to the 1 yard line and she screwed up. So it wouldn't surprise me because of what Thrawn was saying. Like, he was like, after all, death and resurrection are common deceptions for both Night Sisters and the Jedi. So why would you assume that Ahsoka's dead just because you saw her fly off the cliff? Like, she's a Jedi. That's stupid. Like, you're really dumb for thinking that. Like, none of us.
He's like, this is Star Wars. No one does.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much. He said what we were all thinking. Yeah, right. R.I.P. Where we're not for the homie. But yeah, I think, you know, Thrawn represents everything he hates about this whole system of, like, the rising and falling of the Jedi and the Empire. And he's tired of being on the wheel and he wants to just stop it all together. So yeah. I could see Morgan being out of the picture in one way or the other. And I could see Baylan joining the light side or being redeemed as he goes on and passes away. I don't know. I feel
like there's something big that's going to happen with the Night Sisters as well, because how we ended the episode is that he was asking them for help, asking them to use their dark magic.
I have a theory on that too.
So I have a far off theory that I'm all but positive it's not going to happen. The only reason I bother mentioning it is because how Ahsoka is related to Mori and the Mortis gods.
Okay.
So, Brian, are you familiar with Abeloth, Brian?
A little bit.
Was that the wolf? No.
No, that's...
Remember the father and the daughter and the son? The mother was never pictured.
Oh, and that was Abeloth. Didn't we? We talked about that in the first episode. That was the statue I mentioned. Bit. Okay, yes. Gotcha. I'm trying to remember where I said that.
the Mortis gods, the other ones, the son and father and all that, locked her away, kind of like the darkness from Supernatural, how, like, God locked her away, like, at the beginning of time. She was locked away because she is only, like, death and chaos. And, oh, there's a universe. I want to eat it because I'm that powerful kind of thing. In Legends, I think it's Legends, but, like, right before Disney bought Star Wars Legends, so very, very recent Legends, not, like, from the 90s or 80s, Luke Scott, she comes back into the galaxy when Luke is, like, in his 60s. And... So he has, yeah, well, he had to stop her when she was estimated to be 12 times as strong as him. And he, Legends Luke, gets, like, impressively powerful, like you wouldn't believe. So so that's what I'm thinking, like, as a far off crazy theory. He said, Baylan said he sensed something ancient. And what could be scarier than the biggest bad of all time?
I don't think that's galaxy. Super far off, Andrew, especially knowing that it's you coming up with it. I don't think
I would be shocked. Off. I would play the lottery. If that happened, I would play the lottery. Like,
let's get you
business.
A scratch off. Let's
but
see.
Just because, like, they still reference the Mortis gods, like, don't they in the credits?
A lot, like, of this episode was very much kind of relating, like you're saying, to the dark magic and the Night Sisters and all of that. Yeah. And I have a theory on that.
Do it.
So you guys saw the containers. They were like, oh, we got to unload the cargo, they called it.
Yeah. Are those other Night Sisters?
I don't think they're other Night Sisters.
Okay,
it was
sorry,
literally
too much Star Trek.
No,
into
no, no,
darkness.
No, no. I don't think you're super far off. It looked to me like they're coffins. Like,
they
they're
do.
Lit
look
up. Like, they look like coffins. And rewatching the episode, here we go. Andrew, you're going to be on the same page as me. Sorry, Wyatt. You're not going to like this. So what's in the coffins? I was like, is it children's? Is it children? Clones? Troopers? Droids? Weapons? Like, how could we tie this into the First Order rising plot from Mando with Alaya and Dr. Pershing and, like, all that cargo stuff? And I was like, not sure, but I have a feeling something that they're unloading is related. And then they talked about the catacombs and that it's going to take 3 rotations, kind of like Brian was saying, like 3 days. I was like, oh, cool.
They're bodies and they're going to reanimate dead
And then
tissue.
They said necromancing and, or, you know, we know what
Project
the Night Sisters do is necromancing, okay. Right? Wow. So, and they're glowing like they're monitoring something inside as they would like a medical.
They did
monitor.
That in Clone Wars when General Grievous came to Dathomir and they reanimated the dead to fight him. Wow.
And that is why I laughed very hard when you said alive and well, like Brian kind of laughed when you said alive and well, because they're calling them the Night Troopers, the Night Sisters. Made the Night Troopers. They have to. They look like shit. They literally look like Game of Thrones zombies, White Walker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm wondering if John some of them Snow had to be brought back to life, or healed. Reanimated. Yeah.
It's Hound. Very like dark and magic Game of Thrones the to mountain. Me. So yeah, exactly. So I feel like what they're doing is Thrawn lost all these troopers and they're like dead, but he didn't get rid of them. He kept their bodies on his ship. And then he was like, I need the dark magic. I need your help. So what else would he need other than to bring back like his army and literally have an army of the undead that like the Jedi can't destroy? And he's like, what else could I defeat Ahsoka with other than a bunch of dead people? So especially when he said that again, like death and resurrection are common deceptions for both Night Sisters and Jedi.
And he didn't make it a point to
say, yeah, he didn't make it a point to just say the Jedi. He said, and Night Sisters. So that I got on the second rewatch. And that's probably an easier prediction because if you rewatch it, there is so much like overarching, like we're freaking dead. We're all dead. If you look at them, like you said, even Thrawn kind of looks like crap. For Thrawn, you know what I mean? So I think we're gonna get a whole army of undead.
Well, it makes sense that so many of them would have died. The windshield was cracked when the whales latched onto the ship on Lothal. I'm like, you went into space and hyperspace with no protection, therefore no oxygen. So I'm curious to see if that's how that went. I don't know that all of his crew died. I would be shocked if that's how that happened.
Well, obviously we saw some of them look like okay, I guess. But I mean, there is like this other theory too that like Ahsoka could be dying or she was resurrected. So there's like a whole, I don't know. There's something there too. So it's like maybe she could defeat a whole army of dead people if she herself has defeated death. Like, I don't know, man. There's like some weird stuff going on there. But I will say on an unrelated theory and an unrelated note, I don't think at this point, I'm really sad to say, I don't know if we're going to get Zeb. I don't know if we're going to get like a whole Spectre crew reunion.
Which this I'm is like, supposed to be Rebels season 5. As
I know, like before. This is bullshit. What the heck? Come on, Dave Filoni, give us what we want. Anakin Schmanakin. We want Zeb and Hera reunited with the rest of the crew. So
I do like how last episode was, if you're a Clone Wars fan, this is what you've been waiting for. But realistically, it was also if you're a prequels fan or just a Star Wars fan in general. We've been waiting for that since 2012.
Yeah, that was
that's over 10 years. And then this episode we've been waiting for since 2018.
Right.
So, well, some of us have, and then some of us saw it after that.
You're welcome.
But no,
nice to meet curious. Me.
Brian, refresh my memory. We haven't met Enoch before, right? His stormtrooper commander.
No, I don't think so.
It was Keemond in the new one, Commander Keemond in the new Thrawn novels. I just looked that up today.
But Enoch, another biblical name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's my theory with him is like he's probably one of the few that's not dead, as that's of the two Enochs mentioned in the Bible, one never died. And God just kind of took him. The other, I feel like, is a less.
Oh, yeah. I read something. It was like God's favorite or like God's favored one or something.
Well, so I re-looked it up this morning. It was like, he walked faithfully with God and God took him up. That's like really all that's
And he,
like,
never died. Right.
That's kind of cool. Gotcha. That's kind of cool.
So like Thrawn is his God.
Did we look up if Peridia meant anything? I'm sorry, not to interrupt, Brian.
Oh, well, Cetos meant something as I learned last week, but I can look that up and then I can look up Peridia.
Yeah.
I think Cetos is a new Kia right now.
Is it a
new Kia car?
A Kia. Like a car. Yeah, Kia.
Yeah. You're lying.
I think it is.
We'll find out in a second when she looks it up.
Or Honda, one of those.
It had something to do with like whales and like the sea or something. I can't remember exactly. So I'm trying to find it.
But so there's two Enochs. That's technically the second one. The first Enoch is, I feel like this is less of what they're going for, but could also fit. He's the son of Cain, which if like Thrawn is like maybe Cain, like kind of like the next in line, maybe. That was like when I'm like, I feel like less of what they're going for, but could also fit. But yeah, he's like, Cain creates a city and names it after his son Enoch. So it's just like a couple of interesting things, but Yeah, so I guess my theory with that is he's probably one of the few that's not dead if they're going for, like, he's the only one name dropped. So there's
another
reason to do that.
I was going
to
be very surprised. Speaking of his crew, I was going to be very surprised and kind of a little miffed if none of his crew survived. I'm like, what? A Star Destroyer has, what, almost 50,000 crew members and stormtroopers, and only Thrawn survived? I was like, that's lazy writing.
I was half expecting when they like first show like the little shuttle coming to the planet, I'm like scanning, like, where is there a crash Star Destroyer?
That's somewhere? What I was looking for. I'm like, where?
So it's like, okay, where interesting. So it's still up. And then just like the scene where like it actually comes, I was like,
oh, that was shoot. Wild.
Yeah,
that was wild. That thing was looking rusty. So this is what I thought initially, and I meant to put this on an instant reactions also, when they first showed Enoch with his mask that Ezra used to wear for a quarter of a second, I'm like, crap, that's Ezra. And then I was like, oh crap, no, it's not.
Thought as well, actually.
So, because you recognize that mask too, like it looked familiar and it stands out.
Because he was also in the room when Sabine was asking about, yeah. Sabine was like, what happened to him? And then he like mentions Enoch first.
Yeah.
I was like,
he's like, I'm going to tell you what happened. And then he mentions him. I was like, wow, wow, wow. I was like, don't do that to me. It was like a second jump scare. I was like, no, no, no.
Wild.
That would have been insane. But I mean, people predicted that he like somehow turned Ezra in that time. And it's been 12 years. And now with the Night Sisters, which we didn't know were there, that was not a bad theory. Actually, like, that wouldn't have been a bad theory at all. So that was interesting. So we think, are we assuming that Ahsoka is going to show up just a little too late kind of thing next episode, or how are we thinking going to go down?
I think maybe my two theories on like possible resolution is, I guess, one, like, I don't think these will happen, but these are my guesses. One is, in order to redeem herself, Sabine and Ezra like are somehow able to sabotage, probably with Ahsoka's help, the eye, and now everyone is just stuck there. Now
the prison cell full of explosives, Sabine, do it.
Now there's just fun adventures in Peridia for next season.
So you don't think Thrawn is going to be brought back to the galaxy, kind of like in the Legends? He's going to give the New Republic trouble.
I think it's more likely than not that he is brought back. But in this theory of mine, I could see none of them coming back.
It would be the easiest way to resolve something with an hour or so of screen time left.
Yeah.
I hope they don't do that. I hope that he is like brought back in, because I think they would
be
both
a better cliffhanger.
Like, hint at, they would both hint at like different implications, right? If like they're all stuck there. Right, then they're all probably having to deal with this like dark presence. But then if they But then if they all come back, then there's the war that everyone's been hoping to avoid, and the New Republic is not prepared
at all, as they are starting to demilitarize.
Yeah, they really did the same thing in Legends. They're just like, man, what invasion force from another galaxy? And then they lose half the galaxy. So,
well, I mean, it's a cycle, and it's kind of like indicative of our world's history and American history. Like, they told the Germans to like demilitarize after like World War I, and they were like, oh yeah, we did, and they didn't. But I mean, they did this in history in Star Wars. They had the Rusan Reformation that had like a ship of a certain size could only have so many weapons, if weapons at all, and they could only have such and such fast hyperdrive. That way you couldn't have a big all-powerful ship going star system to star system just wrecking crap up. But the Trade Federation were smart, and they like hired pirates to like attack their shipping fleets. So, and they're like, oh, we need weapons to defend ourselves. Oh, can we make our droids have weapons too? And then they just like, every time they were given an inch, they would take a mile, and all of a sudden the Clone Wars happened and the Republic was unprepared. So they have cycles of this, and it's like they never pay attention to, I'm like, bro, you're in Star Wars, not Star Peace, as we like to say.
What did Balin say? The rise and the fall, and then Chin said, but it's our turn. It's our turn.
It's literally
Balin was
a
like,
wheel.
Eh.
It's literally a wheel. Like, the galaxy has gone through so much war. Like, I can't even count all of, like, if I list all the wars, I would run out of fingers and toes that Star Wars has. Like, it's like insane.
Yeah.
So it actually, like, from a political standpoint, is like so realistic to our lifetime, because everyone gets frustrated with politics. I get frustrated with Star Wars politics. But I mean, I think that's all I got right now for predictions. I know why another one much.
I can't find
it. I had
just really quick. I was going to say, I can't find anything specifically on the planet names, only like the descriptions about them. So we might have to fill people
in. I'm wondering if like Peridia is like spelled differently in the original language that it comes from, like here in real life, and they just like morphed it kind of thing, but we'll see.
It just says Peridea. Mm-hmm. That's all I can tell you. Sorry. Okay.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Brian.
Continue, you were saying. Brian.
No, you're good. I mean, you guys had mentioned theories on Baylan and Shin. I would like to offer potentially a different one of Baylan maybe dying, fighting whatever this big presence is, and then Shin having to choose between the Empire that doesn't want her, and then these, like, she kind of perked up when he was talking about Ezra being like a Jedi the post-temple period. She's like, oh, like,
what,
like,
what did he call that? Really, that was a cool, that was a cool name that he called it.
What do you mean?
He called it something. He's like, oh, he's from the tribe of like Beacock Jedi or something.
Boken or something like
Boken
that.
Jedi. Yeah. Oh, not the Broken, but like Boken
the
Jedi.
Boken. It's the Boken. The Boken. It's the Boken.
No, I liked that. I was like, wow, okay.
It's the Boken.
Because he sees things very big picture. Like, I don't think, like, I know we've talked about that, but we don't talk about it enough. He sees things very big picture, which, given the state he is in his life and the things that have happened in his life, it would force perspective on anyone. But he just seems to see a bigger picture of history than most people do. So I'm kind of curious about that. I like that theory, Brian.
Here's a whole article about the Boken. Baylan explains that Ezra comes from a breed of Boken Jedi trained in the wild. After the temple fell, Boken is a Japanese wooden sword used for training purposes or with a dummy until the wielder is capable enough to use a real weapon. Where have we seen that before? Kanan, right? Well, Kanan Boken and, is, let's see, I can only see half of my screen. While Boken in itself does not carry derogatory connotations, Baylan's uses of the term to categorize a Jedi grants it a specific tint, as a Boken is a substitute weapon, in this case, a training substitute for a lightsaber. He views Boken Jedi as pale imitations of those trained at the Jedi Temple, weaker and inferior in strength and spirit. Shin immediately points out that she's a Boken Jedi too, as she was trained after the temple burned. Baylan immediately rejects this, stating that he trained her to be more, immediately distancing his disciple from those whom he perceives as inferior, quote-unquote, breeds of Jedi.
I like that. Or he just forgot who he was talking to. He's like, not you, though.
This also means that Baylan holds the Jedi Order's teaching in greater esteem, even though he states he's merely wistful about the idea of the Order as opposed to their actual existence, which was flawed. This is a rather complex stance to build one's worldview on, and it remains to be seen how Baylan will navigate the chaos.
But it makes sense that he views it that way, because that's an apt way to view it. Like, they had their pros, and they were good with certain things. Kind of like how we've talked about, how I've talked about, like, in Mandalorian, they said every unit of measure you can measure, the galaxy was stronger, safer, and what was it, like, more, like, well-fed, I guess you could say.
Yeah, that's exactly what this article goes on to say. It says, for his example, Luke Skywalker would be a Boken Jedi trained in the wild, especially when he was too old by the standards of the Order. And one could argue that Luke's wild training is the reason he succeeds, as it allows him to be divorced from dogma or structure, and he follows his heart when it comes to saving his loved one, and the galaxy prevails.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, even like the Empire had an ass full of, you know, flaws, like more than an ass full. It's like they did certain things. It's
everything but the metric system.
Yeah, I'm an American. I am an American.
There's no leaders over here. Come on.
Yeah. So I like that theory. I'm curious of how that goes. Why it's been a little more quiet this round. I want to hear what he has to say.
Well, I'm surrounded by nerds who know so much more about this than me, so I'm just taking
I don't think we know more. I think we're not afraid to be wrong. And we're just thinking.
We have overactive imaginations. Now it's That's Wyatt's true. Turn to have an overactive imagination.
Well,
serenade us, Wyatt.
Serenade us.
Talking about what could be wrong. I'm still very low key, keeping with my original prediction that Thrawn turned Ezra and that Sabine sent her out there to make an even Thrawn bigger sent trap Sabine
to like okay.
to pull Ahsoka towards them.
Hmm.
It's so far fetched, but
it's not that far fetched because like she just randomly finds him, like, and it wasn't that I mean, she had to like kind of follow these little hermit crab things,
fight
but
off
like
these Tusken Raiders
with sophisticated sensor technology, and given that they didn't say anything about this planet made sensors hard to track anything. Like, why are they just leaving Ezra alone? It's like, do they have that much more things to do on in this exile than kill the person who screwed them over royally?
Like, Thrawn is not, he's never really been a vindictive character. I think he's seizing an opportunity
to kill them now, though. He is seizing that opportunity.
Yes and no. Like, I thought that for, like, when I was first, when I was watching the episode, I'm like, this seems kind of vindictive, which is not really in Thrawn's character.
Correct.
And I thought about some more of, like, I feel like he's more covering his bases of, like, hey, we're trying to get out of here, right? Like,
yeah, you don't leave an enemy at your back.
Yeah, like same with he's doing with Ahsoka. If you see a Star Whale, blast it with prejudice. Like, we're not dealing with this Jedi. Same here. It's like, hey, we're going to try to get out of here. And these guys, they're not going to want us to do that.
It was crazy that he said blast the Star Whale because, like, how he views artistic and majestic things.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying he's an animal lover or anything like that, but this is like a rare breed. This is something that would fit in his category of things to love. But he's also tactically smart. And is not wanting
he's
to
like there's
the
nowhere
back.
Yeah, no way else for her to get here. So it's just like, yeah. So, but I think maybe to Wyatt's point, like, I think it's within the realm of what Thrawn machinations of just like maybe the elaborateness.
It's definitely Legends Thrawn. It's definitely in Legends Thrawn's wheelhouse, I think. I think he was more of a villain and more vindictive. So I've always separated Legends and Canon Thrawn because there's clear distinctions, but now that he's been exiled for 10 or 12 years and he's older, maybe this is where it delves into that Legends Thrawn a little bit more, and then the Canon Thrawn was his slightly younger self. So maybe that can account for some kind of discrepancy. I mean, I'd be pissed if I was screwed over and exiled in an abandoned galaxy that even the inhabitants of that galaxy and planet didn't want
to
be on.
A lot of time to think.
I get pissed off of everything, but like, so
and you're not even blue. I mean, gosh,
I'm not. What was that? So our cousins?
Oh no,
were saying this
here we go.
Cousins trip about because one of our favorite movies growing up was Big Fat Liar.
I knew that was coming. We've had this conversation about this before.
They just kept going up yours, blue boy.
Paul Giamatti.
oh my god!
But yeah, if Thrawn did that theory. That'd be very telenovela of him. I'd be here
well,
for.
Well, between him and the Night Sisters, like the Night Sisters is not something that Ezra is remotely trained for. Like Thrawn,
that's
made,
not sure.
I was gonna say, didn't he?
Okay, he had one experience with it, but he has like.
But that was a long time ago in a galaxy far away.
It was a long time ago. But B, Jedi in general don't have a lot of experience with Night Sisters, especially like pre-Order 66. That little timeline there. Like Anakin and Obi-Wan have more experience with them. They've encountered them more.
They were possessed by them as well.
That's fair. But and you know what, Brian, that is a good point. He does have some experience, but I think if Wyatt's point was to come to fruition, the Night Sisters would be involved, I think.
Heavily that's involved. Fair.
They just seem like capable of doing a lot more than we always thought that they were. And any other predictions, guys? Do you think we're going to get any more background on Baylan or Finn's earlier life?
I mean, it'd be cool to get a flashback, but if we don't have that much runtime.
Order 66.
Oh, poor Adam.
I sent a whole clip to him the other day, and he was like, way to ruin my day. I said, you're welcome.
He's like, I get so many of these. He's like, please stop sending
them. Yeah, that's what he said to me. That's literally what was his response. He was like, why do you do this? And I said, it's like Chris Pratt. Some people just ask for it, and we just make it happen. So
Yeah, some people like
some Chris people Pratt love videos. Chris Pratt, and we just make it happen.
So. Some people on this podcast.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I would like to see a background at least for Balin, but I would definitely like to see one for Shin. Who is his master? Because who his master is could potentially be very telling. So I would like to see that.
Especially the way like Thrawn was just saying like about Ahsoka, but didn't he know that Darth Vader was her master? Anakin was her master? Didn't he know that at some point?
I mean, well, he's met Anakin.
He's worked with him one time. I don't think he ever mentioned I don't think he ever mentioned Ahsoka in that novel, actually.
No.
And Ahsoka so
was after the fact, I think.
After what?
That takes place.
That Ahsoka was gone.
Who knew before her, though? Somebody else knew that he was Darth Vader before she did, right? Or am I imagining this?
Well, I think I was Balin really focused and her what you guys had conversations saying. About
No, yeah.
Anakin.
Yeah.
But I thought that
Balin knew about Anakin, and he may have sensed through the force that Anakin became Vader.
I'm thinking from like Rebels or Clones, there was some character that had a conversation with her that was like, oh, you don't know? And she was like, what? But I can't remember the specific example. Too much.
I'm not sure.
Star Wars in my brain. Too much.
Brian said something, and I was going to comment on it. That's okay. No, I
about Balin's master?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I mean, because he clearly knows while we've never seen him before, he clearly had his fingers a pulse on what happened in the Jedi temple, on the council, in the galaxy in general. So
that he was there.
He said he knew him or whatever. So, I mean, he said everyone knew him, but it would be curious to see how he was trained and why he views Anakin and Ahsoka, how he views them. I mean, he views them correctly. He views them that they're too violent, too prone to violence. And that's kind of the way the Jedi were when they were in the war. They never should have been there in the first place, let alone taking 14-year-olds and 12-year-olds into combat.
Yeah, definitely not.
But that was their downfall. But
I hope we can see a space battle when Thrawn gets back and everyone's like, oh, he is back. We were wrong. And then
Voldemort has returned.
We do need one because we haven't really had a space battle in this show.
And they don't like to show fleets, and they've already shown a fleet, so they can't waste that, I hope.
Yeah, Carson Tava's got to come back and blow some shit up.
With Zeb, with his full squadron, with Zeb.
Yeah, there you go.
What was first just a dream has become a frightening reality for those who mirror oppose us. And this podcast was just a dream. It was also frightening reality when we started getting it going, because there's so much work to be done to do a podcast.
Now we have a lot of catch up to play.
Yeah, Marvel's, I think we're caught up in Star Wars. It's just mainly Marvel.
Bad Batch. No. Yeah.
Well, we never did Bad Batch, but yeah.
We will never run out of content.
Thank you.
Either way, muchos gracias for everybody who joined us on this pod.
Happy Hispanic Heritage Month with the Spanish there. I love it.
I didn't realize.
Yeah, till October 15th. Olé, welcome.
A very special thank you for Brian for joining us on this podcast. Yes,
thank you, Brian.
Yeah, it was fun to be back. Maybe in 2 years when you do Bad Batch, I'll...
Oh my gosh, we will be doing it sooner and you will be on.
Damn.
I mean, he's not lying. It might be 2 years
before he's on. I'm pretty sure Brian's been on more recently than 2 years. I looked at it to what Brian was referencing, and it's possible he and I were on the same computer one time. Like, kind of like I had to do with...
I
can't remember.
I don't know.
Tell you.
I'll go back through our pods and listen.
I don't even know what
you
episode.
Prefer bitterness.
I kid. It's no hard feelings. Life is busy.
We're so happy.
It's fun to be back.
Yes. Thank you, Brian. But join us again next week, where we round the corner and almost on the home straight with the second to last episode. Oh boy, what's gonna happen? Join us next week.
Número siete. Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode.
In the meantime, check us out on Instagram as @Spectre_radio and on Facebook as Spectre Radio.
Be sure to submit your questions via social media for a chance to hear us answer them on our upcoming segment, Consult the Council.
This is Spectre Radio, signing off.